It is salutary to remember that we are a subculture. Two outsiders, Yachting Monthly readers, coastal or ocean, are simply a mystery. You realise this whenever there's a new report about a cruising mishap or piracy or Captain Calamity rescued while trying to wobble around the world on a converted B-Day. The national media describe yachts as either fragile or luxury, though for most of us they're just sturdy, unpretentious workhorses. Drifty Mediterranean holidays get talked up as epic adventures when undertaken by self-aggrandising weekend supplement writers, while fearful struggles through our own coastal rocks, gales and tide rips get dismissed as anorak pastimes. They don't understand us. Well, that's good. It's fun to be odd. We met shock disbelief when we first loaded babies aboard, as if a cautious weekend up the Walton backwaters was like taking them up Everest in a backpack. When we set off round Britain in 1988 with a 3- and a 5-year-old, we got stern looks despite our assurance that we'd rarely be off the phone to the Met Office and were prepared to sit out gales for days on end, which we did. Let us never forget Fishguard, or Loch Ned, or that desperate search for child-friendly outings without a car in Fraserburgh. But small children actually do rather well on board, provided you compromise on your ambitions. Some obviously are not. We used to get fed up reading gung-ho tales in roving commissions which ended a fine Arctic Circle cruise was enjoyed by all, including 4-year-old Chloelia and her baby brother Horatio. We used to shout, "Hang on, what exactly were Chloelia and Horatio doing during the near knockdown you mention off Spitsbergen? Did they not get a bit restive on the 6-day storm passage to Lofoten?" So when we gave our own account in One Summer's Grace, I admitted to every shaming tantrum. Even the children's. It was a steep learning curve. First thing we did on the old Rustler was create a cot for our son in a pilot berth using netting and clips. We padded everything and fitted eye bolts to secure his sit-up chair in either the cockpit or the cabin, but with gentle cruising it soon became clear that nothing suits a 1-year-old more than constant parental presence and attention plus opportunities to pull himself to his feet. You wobble a lot anyway at that age, so the additional motion seemed to present no great problem. And traditional narrow-hulled boats are full of handholds. In harbour, a ship's bucket is the best way of bathing a baby who can't quite sit up yet. We have photos of Nicholas beaming over the rubber rim at passers-by in marinas. As they got older, new challenges arose, the greatest being boredom. But the best toy any toddler ever has is a parent. And there we were, unable to escape, always available to answer mad questions, start singing songs and pick Duplo up off the floor. A tricky moment came as we negotiated the fast tides under the Menai Bridge, and Rose announced ominously that it was her teddy bear's birthday and he required a proper table laid with dolly mixtures. As to the affair of the potty overboard off the Rins of Galloway, let us draw a veil. Even Yachting Monthly advice on recovery drill has never quite tackled the art of grappling a fully loaded potty with a boat hook without soiling the tow rail. Be prepared to let the children draw faces on the fenders, even if this results in interesting hull decorations later. But above all, there are the stories. Small children live on narrative. Audiobooks do help for a while. Oh, that droning voice, night and day. It was a foggy day in Greendale, and Postman Pat was on his rounds. But sea stories are better. Drake and Nelson, Sinbad and Bonnie Prince Charlie, Nessie and Pirates, and the Mucklemester Stoorworm of Orkney, they all kept us going. Yes, there were drawbacks, but as family time, it rocked.